white letters on a turquoise background. Momentum Pictures. Out of a bright white light, the jagged outline of a mountain summit against a blue background. The logo of Summit Entertainment. From the pages of a storybook turning at speed, two identical facades pop up. Behind them, a brightly lit fantasy town at night, the logo of Stone Village Pictures. Typed letters appear in a box against a black background. Type A Films. Summit Entertainment. Stone Village Pictures present a Type A film production. A Tatira Active production in association with Grosvenor Park Media. Once upon a time, a Cadillac careers along a sunny city street sometime in the 1970s. As it pulls up at a curb, reporters swarm towards the handsome couple getting out.
My parents were born into the good life. Old money, blue-blooded, society sweethearts.
Happy for a boy or a girl?
I'm happy with whatever we have.
Having played host to kings and queens and other powers that be, they were used to gracing the pages of society columns. So they welcomed the attention on what they supposed would be the happiest day of their lives.
The door of the delivery room shuts in a flash of blinding light. An autumnal tree is seen from above.
But local legend had it that a curse was put on the Wilhern family. When my great, great, great grandfather Ralph had a fling with Clara, a lowly servant girl. When he told his family of his plans to marry Clara, he realized how silly he'd been. Clara was, after all, just a servant girl. So Ralph married someone more suitable, and Clara fell off a cliff. That night, Clara's mother, the town witch, came to the Wilhern house seeking revenge. She wanted these blue bloods to feel the pain of rejection her daughter felt, and commanded that the next Wilhern daughter be born with the face of a pig.
And only when one of your own kind claims this daughter as their own, till death do they part, will the curse be broken.
The leaves fly from the tree like a flock of swallows.
With the threat of the curse hanging over their heads, the next five Wilhern brides lived in terror of being the first to give birth to a daughter. But as luck would have it, they gave birth to all sons. Who had all sons? Who had all sons? Who had all sons? Finally, born to Ella and Leonard Wilhern, a beautiful baby girl. But what they didn't know then was that Ella hadn't actually given birth to a Wilhern. She had given birth to a Jones.
A smirking chauffeur.
Which means that the firstborn Wilhern girl was me.
A baby with big floppy ears. The single word title Penelope is adorned with flowers and a pretty butterfly. Sometime later, a young man with fair hair and blue eyes stands behind a two-way mirror, watched on a TV monitor by Penelope's mother.
Penelope, dear, sweet Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like you, I felt imprisoned most of my life.
Really? By what? Your good looks and your good name?
Yes, exactly.
No one ever seems able to see past that.
No one. And Penelope, curse or no curse, if I am more than my name and my face, then surely you are more than yours.
I knew it. He's the one.
He just might be.
Sweet Penelope. Let me in.
Penelope is sitting on the other side of the mirror.
Oh, Penelope, let me in.
A bookcase next to the two-way mirror opens out.
No! Hello.
The young man does a runner, colliding with Penelope's mother and the butler.
She's a killer!
Help me, somebody!
The butler sprints after him.
Why, Penelope? Why?
I'm not the one who ran, Mother.
Well, of course they run, dear. When you spring yourself at them like that, do you think
I showed your father my mole on our third date? No, dear. No, I had the good sense to wait until after we were married.
I didn't show him my mole, Mother. I showed him my face.
Penelope has a pig snout. Her mother, Jessica, turns away, sobbing. Penelope rolls her eyes in irritation and comes downstairs.
Mom.
Jessica is sitting at the bottom of the stairs of their palatial hallway.
Oh, sweetheart. He really liked you.
No, Mom, he really didn't.
No, he didn't like your nose. That's what he didn't like. You're not your nose.
But it is my nose.
No, it's your great-great-great-grandfather's nose on your father's side. He did this to you, to us. But you are not your nose. You are not you. You're somebody else inside, just waiting to come out.
I had been reminded over the years that I was not the only victim of the curse. No one suffered more than my mother.
These things happen all the time. Did you know some children are born with gills? Gills, sweetheart. Like on a fish.
Oh. So, can you cut it off?
Strangest thing. But the carotid artery appears to run directly through the nose, or snout, as the case may be, making any attempt at removal unfeasible.
But...
I'm sorry. The snout stays.
My mother meant well. She always meant well, and always did what she thought best to protect me. First, from reporters.
Ow! Ow, my eye!
But with the public demanding to see the face that had caused so much trouble, my mother did what any loving mother would do. She faked my death.
A dwarf with an eye patch watching the fake funeral narrows his one good eye.
And had me cremated. So with the public left to mourn my tragic passing, and with me safely hidden away from the outside world, now she need only worry about protecting me from my father, who was having trouble adjusting to the new morning menu.
Why can't I have bacon?
Because you love oatmeal. Doesn't Daddy love oatmeal?
Yeah.
No, I love bacon.
And from the insensitivity of the new butler, Jake.
And this little piggy had
Jake.
Roast beef.
Oh, Jake! And... Stop mm-hmm. it! Oh, the poor...
And occasionally she had to protect me, even from myself.
Little Penelope unlocks a pair of big double doors and runs to the gates of the family mansion to watch some children playing outside. As they peer at her with friendly curiosity, her mother yanks her away from the gates and carries her back inside.
So I did most of my playing in my room, where I made my own friends and learned to entertain myself. Meanwhile, my mother spent her every waking hour preparing me to be a suitable bride.
Quelle heure a-t-il?
And on my 18th birthday, she hired Wanda, matchmaker to the rich and famous. Now, to break the curse, they just had to find a high society blue blood, one of my own kind, to accept me as I am. Till death do we part.
Hello.
Penelope stands before a short-sighted young suitor who puts on his specs and does a runner. Through an upstairs window.
And upon their departure, they were invited back to the house.
Jake tackles the suitor.
Where they were legally gagged into secrecy. I guess I looked even worse than I thought. And it was just a matter of time before my mother recognized the need for certain adjustments. Shatterproof glass and sneakers for Jake. So you see, today... was much like any other, except...
I couldn't catch him.
I knew it! I always said we should make them sign the gag before they see her, not after!
The young man dives into a police station.
A snout.
Yeah.
And fangs. Listen, I know what you're thinking. The Wilhands, nice family, right? That's what I thought. And when Penelope mentioned the curse, I thought that was just a figure of speech, yeah. It's not a figure of speech. I'm telling you, if I hadn't got out of there when I did, that monster, it would have eaten me alive.
That's it. Put him in holding overnight.
What's happening? Me? No! You don't understand! I've come in to report her!
Hey, wasn't it a Vanderman?
Yeah, Edward. Guy's crazy.
A reporter sniffs a story.
Anybody? Will somebody call my mother?
The next morning, Edward traipses towards his white stuccoed home as a paperboy delivers his papers American style, tossing them into each front garden and clipping Edward on the back of his head. Edward casts his eyes down at the front page headline. Vanderman suffers nervous breakdown next to his photo. He throws a hissy fit.
Rise and shine!
Jessica with a suitcase.
We're moving! Franklin!
Mom?
Up.
What? We're moving?
Uh-huh.
Edward strides down the corridor of a newspaper office, baying for blood.
Where is Larry Bunzer?
Larry sits at his typewriter.
Security.
Poor Edward. I had no idea.
No, not that. Hallucinations of a hideous big-face girl. You do know who they're talking about.
Oh, I don't know. Could be any number of women in this city.
I'm next in line for chairman of the board. Do you have any idea what a story like this will do to me? What my father is going to do to me?
Well, that's not really my problem now.
Okay. I'm not a delusional maniac. Am I? No. So either you print a retraction, or so help me God, I am going to rip your guts out one gut at a time.
It'll be 25 years ago all over again. Reporters popping out of drawers. Penelope will be exposed. And then what chance do we have?
We can move to the beach.
Beach is good.
Or France.
You could practice your French.
I could practice my French.
Mm-hmm. Wearing a natty beret, Penelope strolls past people sitting at a pavement cafe. They all flee in terror. Jessica wakes from her reverie.
Never mind. I overreacted. Wanda.
Wanda!
I demand a retraction. You've ruined my life. I'm telling you, she was a pig. A pig! I'm telling you, she had a piggy snout on her face, and I'm not mad. Why will no one believe me?
Wait, hold on there, Victor.
The dwarf with the eye patch.
I believe that man is with me.
Huh? I am?
Jessica, this isn't exactly the cream of the crop here.
I don't care.
Okay, well, first is...
Oh, great.
Jack.
Fine.
The Ripper.
Super. Who else?
You know what? Why don't I just say, here's 12 men. Trust me.
Terrific. Let's talk about the dowry. I think we should double it.
If they can't stand the sight of me now, what makes you think they'll be able to for double?
Oh, now. With that attitude.
Oh, yeah. It's my attitude, Mother.
Penelope catches sight of herself in a mirror. She covers her nose with her hand and looks into her beautiful brown eyes.
This guy's got a lot of potential. I mean, I know he's gonna look her. What do you think of this guy? You like him?
Her mother watches her and her face softens.
Oh, sweetheart.
I know. It's not my face, it's my great-great-great-grandfather's face. And he's not me, and I'm not him, and I'm not me.
And don't you forget it.
Penelope gives her mother a sad smile and goes. At night, near a brightly lit bridge, a black van is parked.
I gave my right eye for that story. And I got back squat. And that hideous woman still gives me nightmares.
I thought you never saw her.
No, not Penelope. Her mother. I only caught a glimpse of the baby. Thought my head was playing tricks on me.
Well, thank God someone believes me anyway.
Unfortunately, my believing you isn't going to do either one of us any good. We're going to need some proof. Clear both our names. You think you can get back in there?
Edward pulls a face.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
he sees Penelope snarling at him through the window of the van. The reporter sees nothing.
No.
Are you sure? I just need one
I'm
photo.
Not going back in.
All right. Okay. We're just going to have to find somebody who can. Hook them up with the agency that sent you.
No, they only see old money, blue blood types. It's part of the whole curse thing. I don't think we're going to find any blue bloods lining up to help us. It's not like they need the money.
No, but... down and out blue bloods do.
In a cellar gambling joint, a young man with floppy dark hair is sitting hunched over his poker chips. A chubby player in a lurid shirt over a white vest sits with four stacks of chips in front of him.
Jack.
bet.
The chubby chap shows his hand.
Read 'em and weep, losers.
Crap.
The pint-sized reporter wanders up to the cashier.
You got a Maxwell Campion playing here tonight?
That's him there. Poker table number 5.
The floppy-haired player puts on his coat, and the reporter watches him carefully as he strides past, his face morose. Behind them, the fat guy is on his knees, counting his winnings.
Hey, pal, wait up.
Do I know you?
No, but I know you. Did a little research, and it seems in a few short years you've managed to gamble away the fortune your family spent generations building. Hey, hear me out. I'll make it worth your while.
You got the wrong guy.
$5,000 worth your while?
The young man stops in his tracks. The reporter's black van is parked near the gates of the Wilhern mansion.
Wow, this guy is wasting my time.
Edward and Lemon, the reporter, are sitting in the open back of the van.
Oh, is he? Hey, man, look, I'm sorry.
Come on, let's go. Take off the jacket.
What?
We'll need your signature on the last page. Just your standard gag. You don't talk, we don't talk.
Wanda motions to a suitor to wait.
Just how ugly is this girl?
Believe the young lady is waiting.
All right, the camera is in the lapel. Mm-hmm. The rigging is in the sleeve. Put it on. Now, to take a picture, you just raise either arm. Not now.
All right, look, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you are. God, did you have to gamble all night?
Yeah. Still had chips. I'm good.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
Smiling Riley, Maxwell, wearing the bug jacket, walks towards the mansion. Wanda drops her files.
Oh.
Don't worry, I'll get that.
And you are?
Well, I'm Max Campion, and the agency sent me.
Oh, right. Campion.
An elegant, book-lined room is packed with hopefuls in suits and ties. Max, looking like he hasn't been to bed or even had a shower, comes in carrying the blue folder Wanda gave him. He fiddles with his jacket, and as the hidden camera starts snapping away, he dives behind the back of the leather Chesterfield. In her room, Penelope is watering a toy garden arrangement. Her mother comes in wearing a tight smile.
All right, dear, we've done as you asked. They're all in the annex. But why you wouldn't rather talk to them one at a time is beyond me.
This way it'll be easier to weed out the unlikelies.
Penelope puts down her watering can and, with her snout in the air, walks to the secret opening in the wall and steps through into the annex.
Hello, I'm Penelope, and you must be... Late for tea?
Her eyes flashing angrily, she goes back through the bookcase.
They're out. They're running. They've all seen her.
Where's Max?
I don't see Max. He's not there. There's no Max.
Max peers over the top of the Chesterfield and sees that the room is completely empty. Penelope dumps a bottle of cola and a packet of snacks onto a table.
How could you?
Just speeding things up.
Oh, and now you're just going to make a pig of yourself?
No, that's already been done for me.
Stop it!
That was the last of the ho-hos. Where's your credit card? I'm going to the store.
No, don't. Hey! If you want more ho-hos, I'll send Jake for some.
I'm old enough to get my own.
Pick me up some chocolates.
Penelope, just one man. One man.
And he'll run, too. They always run. Why can't you accept that? For 7 years, I've been watching them run. Do you have any idea how that makes me feel? Do you?
I'm sorry, but we just can't quit.
We can, because no matter how much I want to believe, there's one man who won't run away. One man who...
Her eye strays to the TV monitor, to Max sitting on the Chesterfield, raising and lowering his arm.
Sweet, loving angel of all things merciful.
All three women peer at him.
Did he see?
He must have.
He was there.
Who is he?
Who cares? Just go.
Yes, go.
No, I...
Oh, go!
Max reaches for a book, activating the camera.
Damn it.
Penelope steps down towards the two-way mirror and watches Max with a look of total surprise.
You're still here.
Whoa. Yeah.
Did you see?
See?
You didn't see.
I didn't?
Did you?
Did I what?
Don't mess with me.
I'm messing with you?
Why are you still here?
Look, I'm sorry. Should I go?
No.
Penelope hesitates, then sits on a seat on her side of the mirror.
Are you a fan of George Rackham?
Who?
The book you've got in your jacket.
You caught that, huh?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's a great book.
So you've read it?
Well, yeah.
Funny, I thought that was the only surviving copy.
Well, you know what? I meant to read it, but the library was always out. And, I saw it was a first edition, and I figured it might be worth something.
So you were stealing it?
Well, yeah, I was stealing it.
So you're a fan of the money?
I'm a big fan of the money. Although it doesn't much care for me.
Well, maybe you and the money weren't meant to be.
Hey, I wouldn't go that far. Jinx me.
There are 326 first editions in that room. Of those, 300 are worth over 50,000. A dozen or so are worth over 25,000. And I'm afraid there's only one that's valued under 100.
Only one, huh?
A little novel written by a little nobody that never amounted to anything.
You don't say. Under 100.
I'm afraid so. And I'm afraid that means that it's
but
time
your favorite,
for...
just the same.
What?
I said your favorite, just the same.
I heard you.
She gulps at Max's playful demeanor.
Top shelf, third from the left. Moby Dick. It's a first edition. But wait till I'm gone, or they'll see you.
See me? What?
Max looks around the empty room and then back at his reflection.
Hello?
He taps the mirror.
Hello?
Penelope opens and closes her front door. In the annex, Max looks round and gives an amused snort. In her room, Penelope tiptoes back to her two-way mirror, just as Max reaches into a glass-doored cabinet and takes out the copy of Moby Dick. Slipping it inside his jacket, he goes to the door of the room in full view of the mirror and leaves.
Gotcha!
He jumps back through the door, grinning.
No? Penelope?
He walks right up to the mirror and taps on it with his knuckle.
Penelope?
She gazes at him. And for a second, it seems as if they are looking directly into each other's eyes. She looks down, caught off her guard. Max screws up his eyes and runs his hand over his unshaven, haggard-looking face. He turns away from the mirror and drops the book on the Chesterfield.
We'll be back tomorrow.
I knew it. I knew you were there.
She bites her lip.
Yeah.
As he leaves, she rests her head on her arm. Wanda and her mother are beside themselves with excitement.
He'll be back. He will.
Max bangs the top of the van.
All right.
So?
I didn't get it.
How could you not get it? Half the men in this city...
Relax. I'm coming back tomorrow.
Edward bangs the van door on Lemon's face.
Wrong door. Do better.
Max takes back the jacket.
See you tomorrow.
In the annex, Penelope picks up the little book Max left behind. She opens it and sits down on the Chesterfield. Her father enters and picks up a fallen side table.
Sweetheart, what's wrong?
I thought he just knew, but it says it right here.
Still, the 2,000 books that aren't your favorite, he chose the one that is.
Her face creases with a smile. Later, as she sits in her copper bathtub reading the book, Max is back at the poker table. In the morning, he bangs on the back of the van. Lemon opens up with a disapproving scowl and hands him a coat. He takes Max's own jacket and hands him the bugged one. Max walks off before Lemon can give him some mouthwash. Penelope, positioned behind her mirror, watches Max closely as he slaps his cheeks to wake himself up. He wanders over to a display cabinet full of seashells and decorative ornaments. He reaches in and takes out a brass frog. He blows into its mouth and breaks off in a fit of giggles.
Do you play?
He falls against an armchair.
I wish you'd stop doing that.
Do you play?
Frog. No, although I always meant to pick it up.
But you do play something.
What makes you say that?
What do you play?
He strolls to the mirror with a teasing smile in his eyes.
Guess.
Jake installs a drum kit in the annex.
Is this really necessary?
She's finding his instrument.
Isn't that something a man should do for himself?
And a one, and a two, and a one. You are my sunshine.
Max is on double bass.
Make me happy when skies are gray.
Okay, it's not the bass.
Now he's on drums. Saxophone.
Oh.
His lead guitar makes Penelope cringe with amusement.
Thank you so much, Herbie.
Wait, no, I'm not done guessing.
Come on, enough about me. What do you play?
Now she smiles shyly.
You want to be a horticultural what?
A horticulturist. You know, someone who works with plants.
Right.
Why is that funny?
No, plants are great. I just thought of you as like a cop. You know, since you got the whole interrogation thing now.
Shut up. It's your move.
They're playing chess.
You really don't want to do that.
Why not?
Because I'll kill her.
What if I asked you not to?
I'd still kill her. You'd sort of be begging me to.
So, beer. You've never had a beer.
I've had a beer.
On tap?
No, not on tap.
Well, then you've never had a beer.
Your knight can't do that.
My knight?
The horse.
All right. How about you and me heading down to the Cloverdilly Pub right now?
The Cloverdilly Pub?
Yeah. Best beer, best blues, some of the best beer bums in town.
Thanks. Maybe later.
He glances behind him and leans in close to the mirror.
Penelope, come on. Eh? Come on, you gotta get out of there sometime. Right?
She looks down her snout.
What are you waiting for?
And lowers her eyes, sadly. Max moves back from the mirror and, leaning on his elbow, glumly rests his head on his clenched hand and fiddles idly with his hair.
You know, truth is, you're not missing much.
Really? The Cloverdilly Pub sounds fun.
Yeah. Aside from that.
And street fairs? I hear they sell really cool stuff right on the street.
You know, the vendors themselves are pretty cool, too.
Oh, in the park?
The park is great. I used to spend every weekend there, just hanging on a bench, writing stupid love songs, people watching.
Used to? You don't do that anymore?
No.
What are you doing instead?
Mom. Beating you at chess.
I warned you, I'd kill her.
Well, that's great, because you know what? As soon as my guys hear what you've done...
The game will be over. Your queen will be dead.
Well, my king's still pretty active, you know?
Once the queen's dead, the king's useless.
What's that about?
I don't know. Maybe he's too depressed to fight. And he really loved her, you know.
Max flashes a rueful smile at the mirror.
Yeah, I can see that.
My queen to yours. Checkmate.
Penelope's big brown eyes shine as she watches Max through the mirror. Later in a park by a lake, a fisherman casts his rod in the water Nearby, a couple huddle together. Max, wearing a trilby, a woolly scarf at the neck of his black coat, sits on a bench deep in thought.
What is this guy doing? Wasting on my film.
He's doing it on purpose. He's going for the dowry.
Wish I could find a girl with a dowry.
Give me a break.
Why else would it be taking you so long, huh? She revealed herself to me straight away.
You know what? I guess she liked you more.
Why settle for 5,000 when you could get 10 times that, right? Well, maybe you're forgetting. I've seen her. She is grotesque.
Shut him up.
I'm talking unkissable ugly, nightmare ugly. Puke!
Max stops his mouth.
Listen to me, you little worm. I know your kind. Spoiled rotten mama's boy with nothing. God! You licked me.
Edward.
What?
Don't lick Max.
Sorry.
Listen, you can't blame us for being a little suspicious.
Fine, find someone else. Fine. Give us back the money.
Max stops dead, then glances over his shoulder. Lemon hands him the bug jacket. In the mansion, Wanda and the Wilhelms settle down to watch the next installment.
It's starting! Starting!
Okay, I've got it. Piano. You play the piano. I bet my life on it.
All right, keep in mind, never bet a better.
Max strolls over to a small upright piano, watched by the snacking Wilhelms.
Does he have another jacket?
On the TV monitor in their kitchen, they see Max sit down at the piano and flex his fingers.
And a two and a one.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
No, it's B flat.
You are my
sunshine, B flat on the right hand.
My only sunshine.
No, right hand.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me, you're my
sunshine. The left hand stays.
She slips her hand.
And the right hand plays the chord.
Over his left hand.
You see?
Yeah, it's better.
He sees her and falls against a display cabinet. Penelope stands before him, a slim young woman in a brown top with a heart-shaped neckline, with a pig snout where a nose ought to be. Max stares at her without moving. She stands her ground and levels her gaze at him. Slowly, he takes a step towards her, as if trying to coax a frightened wild animal. He raises his arm and reaches out to touch her nose. The camera snaps its prey.
No! No, you're not! Penelope! No!
Penelope! Stay with Max! Do not! Please do not!
I told you!
No! You ran! It was you this time!
He just stood there, staring at me. No one's ever just stood there before.
To give the poor boy a chance to adjust. Babe, put yourself in...
To wonder.
What are you doing?
What? I told you to stay with
you
him!
You did? I didn't hear you.
Max strides out of the house, putting on his hat. Lemon jumps out of his van, smiling eagerly.
Did you get it?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
Max hurls the camera to the ground.
I needed that photo!
She's not what Edward said she was. You just leave her alone.
Jessica and Wanda come down the drive.
Lemon? Who is this?
Lock the gate!
Don't shut the gate!
Max scales the main gates and runs after the two women.
Penelope!
Max?
Oh, Penelope, there's something I have to tell you.
No, he's a spy!
No! Yes!
Yes, but... he's a spy! He's working for Lemon, the reporter who forced me to bury you.
He said I was cremated.
That too. I hope you were well paid because you just said goodbye to a fortune.
Wait, he's still a blue blood. He can break the curse. Max, I know this face repulses you, and I wouldn't dream of asking you to accept it.
No,
but this isn't me. The real me is inside here somewhere, just waiting to get out. And you can make that happen. Once the curse is broken, I'll be just like anybody else.
What if the curse isn't broken? What if the curse can never be broken?
Then I'll kill myself. I promise. I promise I will.
Marry me, Max. Marry me.
Standing above him on the staircase, she watches him imploringly as he steps forward and directs his blue-eyed gaze at her.
I can't.
Her eyes well up.
Get out.
Get out!
Wanda and Jessica hustle him out of the house. Penelope sinks down onto a step as the two women come back into the hall and look up at her helplessly.
I felt the rush of a thousand heartbreaks. But it took my mother just 10 seconds to...
Okay, this is what we're gonna do. Hear me out.
Just wait and hear me out, Penelope.
Penelope!
This is nothing we haven't been through before!
Penelope,
I will never give up, sweetheart. Never, Penelope. Never, Penelope.
Suitors crash through windows.
And I knew, with all my heart, she meant it.
Never.
In his big warehouse apartment, Max sits in an armchair, his head thrown back glumly. He raises himself up and wanders across the polished wooden floor to an upright piano. There he sits down and starts to play. Slams down the lid. And pulling some banknotes from a cigar box in a locker, he goes back to the poker table.
Okay, that's it for me, folks. You'll be all coming in.
The same chubby player and the same elderly woman are back at the same table. Another dealer joins them. At home, Penelope creeps down the staircase and overhears her parents talking.
We have spent so much time preparing her for the day things will be different. We've never prepared her for the day that they're not. Maybe we should stop all this matchmaking and give her a puppy.
Sweetheart, Penelope, is that you?
Yes, Mother. I'm just going to make some cocoa.
Okay.
Jessica looks askance at her husband.
A puppy.
And goes on looking at suitor application forms.
What can I say? I'm sorry you got stuck with me.
I'm sorry I dragged you down with me. I know I'm the bad blood. You don't think I know that? I'm the Wilhern. The curse is on me. I am the curse. It's me. Me. I am the curse. It's me.
Honey,
me.
Honey.
Honey! I think your father could use some cocoa, too.
Okay, Mother.
Penelope slips out of the back door and sprints across the grounds.
Actually, I might have come.
Jessica wanders down into the kitchen area.
Penelope.
Penelope hurtles on through the darkness.
Penelope!
With a lilac and green patterned scarf covering her face, she comes to the back gates of the grounds and pushes them open. A busy neon-lit city rises up in front of her, stretching as far as the eye can see. As she sighs with excitement, Lemon and Edward in the van are watching Jessica on their surveillance monitors.
She's escaped.
Let's go!
Oh, she's gonna be coming after me!
Edward, you gotta get control of yourself!
Quick!
Penelope wanders through the streets of the high-rise neon-lit city, looking about her in wide-eyed wonder as people wearing heavy winter clothes hurry past her. A troop of Hare Krishna followers dance by. At home, her father is on the phone.
What are you doing?
We need help. Yes, I'd like to report my daughter missing.
Are you out of your mind? What if they find her?
Cry out loud, Jessica!
Penelope wanders through a park towards a fairground under a canopy of fairy lights. Past a band of Germanic-looking street musicians, a man making animal shapes out of balloons, and excited children riding by on bicycles. With bubbles floating across her path, she sees children on a carousel watched by laughing parents. She watches a small boy buying a stick of candy floss from a stall Balloons and bubbles swirl in front of her as she gazes in wonder at the sights and sounds around her. Spellbound, she watches a fountain gushing up and down in front of her. At home, Franklin's hunched over a mass of 70s-style telephones.
Okay, you know what? Can't hold it any longer. Come with me. I have to pee and I can't leave you alone with the phones.
Penelope is in a phone booth.
Hello?
Mom?
Hold the line, please.
Mom?
Collect call from Penelope.
Yes, we'll accept.
Go ahead with your call, please.
Hello?
Penelope, what the hell were you thinking?
Did anyone see you yet?
No, Mom, no.
Good, good. Where are you? We'll come and get you.
I'm just calling to say that I love you and goodbye.
Penelope, don't!
Jessica drops the phone.
At least we know she's all right.
Franklin replaces the receiver with a sigh. In the city, Penelope passes a uniformed doorman outside an hotel. She steps inside.
Hi. Can I have a room, please?
Shouldn't be a problem. Room 8 is available.
Thank you.
You don't want the room?
No, I want the room.
Then would you mind coming back here so I can check you in? Thank you. And how will you be paying for your room?
Penelope fishes in her coat pocket and brings out a card.
Thank you, Jessica.
Over in the newspaper office.
Nostrils are bigger.
Guys, come on. We gotta wrap this up. I got a deadline here. Gotta go to print.
More piggy, really.
Hey, and
a crew.
In her hotel room, Penelope draws back the curtains and slides the scarf from her face. She sits in a bucket chair, gazing out of the hotel window at the twinkling lights of the city. In the gambling joint.
Thank you, ma'am. Gentlemen.
The first dealer comes back to the table, where the chubby man, the elderly woman, and Max are sitting where he left them.
So, how's everybody doing this fine day?
Thought you went home.
I did. Slept for 8 blissful hours, fixed the kids' breakfast, kissed the wife goodbye, and according to the button, it's your blind.
Max eyes him blearily across the table.
Are you in or out?
Hey, he's still got chips. He's in.
With black bags under his eyes, Max looks numbly at the dealer and leaves the table. The two remaining players shrug as Max wanders through the gambling club as if in a daze and pulls on his hat. He pushes open the door of the club and, tearing off his trilby, breathes in the fresh morning air. At the mansion.
Your morning paper, madam.
Oh, thanks, Jake.
She looks at the cover.
Holy mother!
It shows a crude sketch of Penelope.
Damn it, Edward!
Dad, they all think I'm crazy.
And this helps you. How?
You told me I thought this would prove... Try to remember I'm your son.
That's exactly what I'm trying to forget.
Penelope, shrouded in her scarf, sees a copy of the paper at the hotel desk. Lemon's article offers $5,000 for her picture. She tears off the front page. A detective.
For starters, I'm going to need a recent photograph.
No photographs.
None whatsoever?
No. The fire got them.
Okay, a detailed description?
Brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
Brown eyes.
Mm-hmm.
A uniquely pleasant personality.
Thick pig. So she's a fat girl.
Does any of this really matter? Just go find her. Our daughter's out there somewhere, lost and afraid.
Penelope is walking along a woodland path with a shopping bag in one hand. She sees two joggers running towards her. She starts to run, then cowers, but they run past without noticing her. She gets to her feet, realizing there was nothing to be afraid of.
You haven't given me anything to go on. No photographs, no friends, no job, no hangouts.
Something like this, but minus the fangs.
Franklin!
Do you want to find her or not?
Minus the fangs. They're certainly eye-grabbing.
Hey, you know what? Never mind. How much do we owe you? Where's my... Who took my wallet?
It's our daughter. Please help us. Please, I'm begging you.
What he's trying to say is give us the key now. I'm sorry, but...
The room's registered in my name with my card. Who's the guest? Me. That makes me the guest.
Detective Kral spots Penelope. Her parents come up into her room. The bed is covered in snack wrappers.
Well, at least we know she's not starving.
Penelope runs down the street, away from the hotel. In the city park, she leans against a tree trunk to catch her breath. Digging into her coat pocket, she brings out the offending front page of the newspaper and takes another look at the $5,000 offer. In the boardroom of the newspaper office, Lemon speaks into one of an array of red telephones. Edward sits next to him.
No, not just any pig. Okay, yeah, you need to stop talking now.
Hello? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Edward freezes.
Penelope?
Who is this?
That was Penelope on the...
Sell her own picture? And why did you hang up, Edward? What's wrong with you? Did you ever...
Lemon grabs one of the phones.
Penelope!
How'd you know it was me?
Just a lucky guess. You have something you want to sell us?
That's right.
May I ask why you are doing this?
What do you care? You're getting your freak.
Hey, nobody said anything about a freak.
Listen, do you want it or not?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Okay.
Penelope drops a coin into a slot and smiles at the camera in a photo booth. She scowls as nothing happens. Her strip of pictures slips into a slot outside the booth. A little girl looks at it.
Look, Grandma, a pig.
How nice.
Penelope, with her snout under wraps, whips the strip from the girl's hand and pats her on the head. Lemon waits by another beautifully lit bridge in the cold night air. An envelope is lowered towards him, attached to a long red ribbon. He peers up above him and sees a shrouded figure holding onto the other end of the ribbon and nodding to him. He takes out the strip of photos and studies them carefully. Later, in his office.
Fangs? There are no fangs.
He shows Edward a blow-up of one of the photos.
Huh. Well, she must just suck them back into her skull.
Edward, you know, I've been thinking. I know and you know, maybe that's enough.
Lemon, half the people in this city think I'm crazy. I've got to prove to them that I'm not. I'm sorry. I've got to do it.
He presents the photo to the press.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the pig-faced girl.
Penelope's face is plastered on the next day's front page, along with the question, where is she? As Jessica faints again, the detective grabs the paper.
You were kidding.
Penelope comes to the folksy entrance of the Clover Dilly pub.
Can I get you something?
Can I have a beer on tap, please?
Sure. You can have this one.
The barman slides a beer along the counter.
You're supposed to catch it.
Oh, sorry.
He pours her another one.
You ready now?
She catches it.
There you go.
Thank you.
She raises the glass to her mouth, but finds that her scarf's in the way.
Is that a problem?
Do you have any straws?
Sure.
The barman hands her one.
There you go.
She lifts the end of the scarf and sips the beer through the straw. A copy of the paper lands on Lemon's desk. Max stands over him with a wad of notes.
That's half of what you gave me. You'll get the rest back when I'm ready.
Let's just call it even.
No, let's not. She's not some freaking payday.
She sold me the photo herself. Yeah, apparently she's... out there on her own, declaring her independence.
With an earnest nod, Max goes. Lemon eyes the money that was returned to him and flips it across his desk. Max presses a lift button. He steps into the lift, puts on his hat, and presses the down button. A smile comes to his lips. In the pub.
Hey there, Jack. Lucky you. Last delivery of the day.
How are you doing?
Sure you really want to know, you just ask.
I'm just asking.
So I'm driving my Vespa, and this guy comes out of nowhere and hits me. I go flying. I'm in the street, and he's over me. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. How can you not see me, you know? I'm on a Vespa with wings. I mean, right, you can see me, right? Mm. What? Yes? See? She can see me.
You got a sick Billy on him.
Yeah, it's a little too late. You got to sign here. Billy moved back to the burbs.
Yeah? Sorry to hear it.
We had no business being together. He's a picket fence kind of guy, you know? And, like, what guy looks at me and thinks picket fence? Plus, he's crazy. And I'm done dating crazy, you know? Done. Unless it's meant to be, right?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
I can't hear you have a thing over your face.
Mm-hmm.
The usual. On the house.
Thanks, Jack. You're the best. Well,
cheers.
The blonde biker girl in black leathers sips her drink, then glances at Penelope and sidles up to her.
So what, are you hiding from the law, or is that just a bad nose job or something?
Mm-hmm, bad nose job.
Do you mind me asking how much that might cost somebody, like a nose job?
Oh, nothing.
Free? Mm-hmm. Huh. So I was just thinking maybe I'm getting a little work done myself.
A nose job?
Yeah, kind of, but, like, for my ears, you know? They just kind of stick out up here a little on the top. I mean, I'm no Penelope, but...
Oh, you have beautiful ears. They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
What, are you drunk?
I'm drunk.
Oh. Hey, Jack, how about another round for my pal Scarfy here?
Coming up.
What's a Vespa?
What's a... You never ridden on a Vespa?
Hey, Sam, long time no see. Wow, look who's back.
Sam is tall and skinny with messy hair.
Look, have you seen the guys around? They're touring, opening for some band who's supposed to be good. No kidding, that's great. What brings you back here?
Ah, you know, looking around. Actually, I thought it was maybe time I started playing again.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, eh?
Yeah. Look, come on, Sam, I wouldn't even ask if
you were joking, ain't ya? After we all know shows, I only look stupid.
Look, I messed up. I know and I'm sorry. Let's just say I didn't appreciate a good thing when I had it.
Oh, now you do.
Now I do.
Max sits at a grand piano on a stage.
Still got your scarf on?
Yeah.
Penelope puts on a biker's helmet.
Hop on.
The two girls ride off down a narrow street.
And here comes the night, pulling puppet strings. Oh, my heart again.
I've only ever done 22 in a day, but I have.
As Annie chatters on, Penelope's distracted by a street trader. She flips through a carousel of postcards as Annie does her deliveries.
Now
and they're back on the bike again. Penelope gazes at a shop front and then at the goodies in a baker's shop. Max plays on with a smile on his face, and Penelope gazes in awe at a wall of fish floating in front of her in an aquarium.
Oi, Mozart. Yeah, listen, I'm sorry, it won't happen again. Don't muck about.
Gangly, long-haired Sam leaves Max a mop and bucket. Franklin comes into the Wilhern dining room where Jessica is sitting by a window.
Another postcard.
I don't care. What's it say?
When ice skating.
Stop. I don't care.
Circus.
It's been weeks.
Zoo.
How could she be doing all these things without being seen? She can't. That's how.
She can't be far. We just have to keep looking.
My brother once was like, he was just riding his bicycle, you know, and he hit this like parked car and he was,
look, Helleborus orientalis. They're amazing. They bloom even in the winter.
Oh, that's cool.
They just pop up without any help from anyone.
It's only my ex-boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Penelope shakes her head.
You don't get out much, do you? We should talk.
Jessica and Franklin are also out on the street. She compares one of Penelope's postcards to a building.
That's a scarf. Look!
Penelope!
Penelope!
Hey, hey, hey,
Penelope dashes off with her parents close behind. They spot her running along an iron railing and diving into the Cloverdilly pub.
Oh, great, you're here. It's your turn to buy. Red light, I'll buy.
Oh, my God.
Penelope faints.
Somebody get the scarf off her. She can't breathe.
No! No!
Annie pulls back the scarf, and she and Jack the barman look down in awe.
Hey.
Penelope lies on a hospital bed with lights flashing outside the curtains of her room. She raises herself up and, frowning, steps towards the drawn red curtains. She pulls them back to find her father facing a barrage of reporters and two doctors studying her with professional interest.
They're not running.
More reporters swarm towards the entrance of the hospital as Penelope is led out with her parents at her side.
Is it true you were chained up in the basement?
Don't charge them.
Do you have any other pit cards?
No.
With such a large nose, do you smell better than the rest of us?
No, no, you tell me.
Annie zooms up on her scooter.
Annie, Annie. Mom, can I borrow some money? I'm running low.
Absolutely not. You get in that car.
Like, after 3 weeks, I was like, I know something was up. Nose jobs only take so long, you know?
Mom, they want to know if you chained me up in the basement.
Franklin digs out his wallet.
No, of course not. Bye, darling.
Hi. Penelope, is there anything you'd like to say to the public?
Hi.
And that's the next day's headline, with the mayor replying, "Hello, Penelope." Other headlines read, "City embraces Penelope, scarf sales soar, Bonjour Penelope speaks French, and Pig Latin banned from schools." Edward, his father and their entourage sweep down a grand staircase toward a mob of reporters.
Is it true you attempted to file assault charges against Penelope? I will obtain the police report.
No comment, please, ladies and gentlemen. No comment.
I can handle it. That woman, that thing, belongs in a cage.
Excuse me.
Vanderman drags Edward down a winding staircase towards an old-fashioned wood panel lift.
Have you lost your mind?
You saw her. She's a complete monster. The public loves this girl.
They don't know her like I do.
We're a publicly traded company. We love what the public loves. Get it?
They step into the lift.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying you've got to fix this.
I don't know what you expect me to...
Just fix it!
In the pub.
Come on, Penelope, you're my dude.
Okay, not very good.
Penelope! Come on, bullseye!
Penelope scores a bullseye.
Come on.
Her second dart flies wide.
I told you I wasn't very good.
She walks into Max, who has her dart.
Hi.
Wow. You really did it, huh? I mean, you look great. You know, really happy.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, you inspired me. Doing what you did, going off on your own like that.
I have to go.
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually...
She comes out of the pub into the arms of reporters and her mother.
I'm so glad I found you. You must come home right now. I have the most wonderful surprise.
Okay, Mom, but I really should get back.
Penelope.
Edward.
What is this?
Listen, I'm
Sorry, I ran from my feelings.
Oh, is that what you were running from? I was certain you were running from me.
Only my feelings for you.
Is this a joke?
Penelope, don't make the boy big. Look at that face. He can break the curse.
But things are different now, Mother.
She's overwhelmed. Why? Because you're splattered all over the newspapers?
No, because I have friends.
Those aren't friends, dear. Those are fans. Did you hear? The pig speaks 10 languages. Oh, look, the pig can play the piano. You're just a talking pig to those people. A talking pig. Edward wants to marry you.
Edward moves nearer.
Are you prepared to walk away from your one and only chance? Our one and only chance at a normal life?
Penelope glances at her snouty face in the mirror, then turns to Edward with doleful eyes, watching him sink to one knee with an open ring box in one hand, barely able to look at her.
Will you marry me, Penelope?
Forcing a smile, he cocks his weaselly head to one side. The headline screams out, "Engaged, Edward Vanderman to marry Penelope." Lemon tosses the paper to one side and starts to type.
Hey, Lemon?
Yeah?
I thought you might be able to help me with this Max Campion story I'm doing.
Well, what's the story?
I'm doing this kind of riches to rags to armed robbery story.
Armed robbery? Come on, Max Campion?
Yeah, I just got the call. He's already confessed.
What?
Lemon enters a prison visitor's room. The chubby poker player, now in prison overalls, sits down on the other side of a glass partition. He picks up the intercom phone with a grin.
Pick it up.
You're the lawyer my mother sent?
There's been a mistake. I'm here to see Max Campion.
Yeah, hey, I'm Max Campion.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, Max Campion.
I am not deaf. I can hear you. I am Max Campion.
But you're...
You got a Maxwell Campion playing here tonight?
That's him there, table number 5.
You got the wrong guy.
Okay, no. No, what about the guy you play poker with?
The
shaggy hair, medium build.
Doesn't know when to quit.
Is Johnny Martin. Johnny Martin?
Johnny Martin. Poor loser. Get that down. Martin in the pirate pad there.
Lemon gives him a look. Well-dressed theatre patrons collect their coats at the end of a performance. The Wilhelms are with the Vandermans.
Oh, that was so wonderful, just wonderful. Was it not wonderful?
Yes, wonderful.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Yes. We have to do this again. You know what? Now that we're near the family, I think this is just the beginning.
Yes, I'll fetch the limo.
Oh, good, good, good.
Can I have my coat, please?
Oh, Franklin, we used to go up to the theatre all the time. Why did we stop?
Oh, I guess because we had an ugly daughter. Let me help you with that, sir. Thank you.
Max glares at Edward.
It's just over there.
Okay, we're going.
But my coat.
Fine, we'll get you another one.
Edward, what are you doing?
Max confronts them.
Hi.
Max.
Hello, Penelope. We were just leaving. Hey, how are things, Edward? Okay. I understand it got a bit grotesque there for a while. Even puke ugly.
But you two know each other?
As a matter of fact, we do. Yale, wasn't it? No, I believe it was a Bedford. Bedford Van, to be...
Stop! Haven't you hurt her enough? Bathroom,
Edward,
now.
Edward, Penelope?
Why don't you let Edward handle this?
But Mother...
You make me sick.
Why? What? I'm giving her exactly what she wants, aren't I? And I don't see anybody else lining up to do that.
Well, unless you are...
You lining up?
It's not the point.
Yeah,
it's not the point.
Yes, it is the point. Look, if you want to go out there and tell her that the only man willing to stand up and say I do still gags at the thought of kissing her, then be my guest. But it's not me you'll be hurting. It's her, isn't it?
Edward pats Max on the arm and leaves the gents. Max ruefully watches him steer Penelope towards the door of the theater with their respective parents. Later, he's in the old music hall, where he practices the piano.
Johnny Martin. Son of a plumber, huh?
Sure took you long enough.
Boy, you fooled me.
Johnny, alias Max, comes down to meet Lemon.
So, looks like you were doing her a favor after all.
You seen this?
Cute couple.
Yeah, Penelope and the Beast.
Hey, they're both getting what they want, right?
I know what he's getting. What's she getting?
Well, she's getting the day she's waited for all her life. Breaking the curse.
Oh, you don't actually believe that, do you?
What, don't you?
No.
No? What the hell have you been chasing all these years?
I don't know. A wounded ego and a missing eye, I guess.
Hmm.
Hey, it's not too late to stop Edward.
That's what she wants.
Wait, if getting married is all it takes to break the curse, why not you?
You're forgetting, man. I'm not Max.
So?
One of their own kind.
I'm not a blue blood.
Johnny sips bitterly from a bottle. A line of champagne flutes are being filled. Wedding guests are milling in the grounds of the crenellated Wilhelm mansion.
Hey! Over here, save your seat. It's clean.
Hey, Annie, look at you.
Jack, the barman from the Cloverdilly, joins Annie in the wedding marquee.
The weddings are great, aren't they?
Yeah. When they're somebody else's.
Yeah. And Edward seems really nice, you know?
Mom, I think I'm going to throw up.
Just remember, in a few minutes from now, the curse will be broken.
There is no curse. The only one cursed here is me.
Edward waves lamely at a wedding guest. Upstairs, a woman is pinning Penelope's hair, while another buffs her nails. The bride looks miserable. Outside, Lemon speaks to Wanda, who hurries out to find Jessica.
Jessica, what's the matter?
Is there a problem?
Lemon, carrying a sheaf of photos, is waiting for them inside.
For starters.
Losing your eye was your own damn fault. Now what?
That's why I just wanted to apologize.
Apology not accepted.
Lemon clenches his fist.
What? I have a wedding to go to.
Meet Johnny Martin.
He slaps down the photos. The women go into another room.
I told you not to rush the process.
This doesn't change a thing.
How can you say that? Not only was Edward part of it, he was...
You yourself once said he's still one of our own kind.
Okay, fine. What about Max or Johnny or whatever his name is?
What about him?
Don't you think Penelope's entitled to know?
That he lied about everything.
That he doesn't have the power to break the curse.
Why on earth would she need to know that?
Don't you see? Maybe that's the only reason he said no.
I don't know that, you don't know that, but if that's true, God bless him, he did the right thing!
Damn it, Jessica, I can't just let you...
Leave it alone.
I think I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm not happy for her. I'm happy for her, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're happy for her, right?
Well, if she's happy, I'm happy, yeah.
Mom, I feel stupid.
Oh, you don't look stupid. You don't look stupid.
Jessica checks her own reflection and goes. Penelope heaves a sigh. Sitting up in a tree by the lake, Johnny sits with his arms tightly folded, with a glum, resigned expression on his face.
Edward Vanderman, I take Penelope Wilhelm to be your lawfully wedded wife. For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, from this day forward, until death do you part,
Penelope watches Edward struggling to reply.
I do.
Jessica beams like a cat.
And do you, Penelope Wilhern, take Edward Humphrey Vanderman III to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, from this day forward, until death do you part.
Penelope looks at the faces of the people she knows. Annie, Jack, Wanda, Jake, her father.
Penelope.
She turns to her mother, who is urging her to say, I do. She glances at the minister and then looks at Edward squarely in the face.
No.
No!
Jessica leaps to her feet. Edward grins with beady-eyed delight as Penelope flees to the house, the hem of her frothy wedding dress cascading behind her.
Nobody move! She's fine! Penelope, wait!
Look at me.
I am.
What is it, dear?
No, look at me!
I am? What? I don't understand. What do you mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Penelope, it's not too late.
Go away, Mother!
Honey, just think about what you're doing. This is the moment we have worked so
Penelope is blown backwards off her feet, as if being blown back in time. On her swing as a teenager, further back as a little girl, her coffin being cremated, back to the witch who made the curse, and the day of her birth. Penelope floats to the floor next to the tree that carried the curse, and the room goes dark. Jessica stands over her, and her jaw drops in amazement. Penelope is lying on the floor with a perfect little nose in the center of her face. She stirs and looks up at her mother in surprise.
Penelope?
Frowning in confusion, she touches her nose with her long, slender fingers. Jessica reaches out to touch her daughter's beautiful face. Newspapers carry headlines that read, Penelope squeals no, and Penelope vanishes. Where is she?
The curse was so simple. Me, one of my own kind. I'd had the power all along.
She studies her face in a mirror.
It's not going to grow back.
What makes you think I...
I miss it too. And then I remember you're still you.
Penelope nods earnestly and gives her mother an uncertain smile. Jessica smiles back at her, her eyes welling with tears.
Penelope. One of your own kind. I just assumed.
We all did, Mother.
No, dear. No, don't you see? I could have broken the curse years ago. If I'd just done my job as your mother and loved you as my own.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Franklin comes up into Penelope's room.
What?
He wraps his arms around them both and squeezes them tightly.
No. Oh. Oh, fuck. You know, darling, with the carotid artery out of the way, I think a little turnip might, you know, right there would be sweet, wouldn't it? Look at that. What?
You're crazy.
Penelope breaks from the hug, and Franklin glares at his wife.
Oh, it's wrong for a young woman to want to look her best. That's not a bad thing. What? I'm being her mother. That's what mothers do with daughters. They talk about how to look prettier.
Still, I felt sad for my mother that day.
Oh, now I'm the bad guy.
Having to cope with so many changes all at once. I was packing to go, and after 25 years with the family.
Jake, where are you going? Jake, I'm talking to you. Jake. And why do you have that bag? Jake! Don't be rude! You turn around when I'm talking to you, please! I happen to be-
Jake's poker face half turns towards Jessica.
Turns out Jake had a secret of his own. And figured we all might be better off if my mother just kept quiet for a while.
Franklin draws his dumbstruck wife into his arms.
There, now.
A knowing smile flickers across Franklin's face as Jake in his trilby, overcoat, black suit and orange trainers, standing on a residential street, reverts to the hag witch who put the curse on the family in the first place, but still wearing Jake's modern trainers. The witch looks back at the Wilhern mansion, and Penelope takes a long last look around her room, at her piano, her toys, and her swing suspended from the ceiling. She comes out through the heavy oak front door.
But I had my own changes to cope with. While I missed the face that had caused so much trouble, the world had moved on.
Papers report soaring taxes and a gorilla boy found in laundry.
And I was determined to find my own way, to always follow my heart.
She's become a teacher.
And then came Halloween.
You should line up by the front door as quick as possible.
Mom, you can't hold me.
Hey, no fighting.
You must let go. It's my man.
Girls, please.
Yeah, but she knew I was going to be Penelope.
One girl is wearing a pig mask.
All right, girls. You're going to have to go out with the rest of the class. Go line up. Come on, line up. Get ready to go. Come on. Alice? Honey, what's wrong?
Everybody's Penelope and I'm stupid static glaring.
Oh, well, frankly, I find you quite refreshing. Come on, sweetie. Stick with me and we'll both make it through this.
Trick or treat!
Well, hello there.
Oh, I love this one.
Hey, Jess, I think you're going to want to see this.
Is this too much?
Jessica sees the four little pigs outside her door, and she silently screams.
And then Wanda couldn't hold on to the secret any longer.
Penelope looks through Lemon's file on Johnny and smiles softly. Later, she and Annie, who's dressed as a bumblebee, walk into a party packed with Halloween revelers, dressed in all manner of elaborate costumes. They take a lift to the upstairs gallery level, where many of the people are wearing Penelope masks.
Wow, you're everywhere. Are you freaking out or what?
Okay, 357.
There it is.
Puts on a mask.
What?
It's just kind of great to see the old you.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
They go towards the door of an apartment.
You can do this. You ready?
Penelope waits breathlessly for the door to open. Johnny appears in the doorway with a wary expression on his face.
Hi. She's got to pee. You got a bathroom? I'm going to get some punch.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I guess it's okay. Come on in.
Penelope goes into the brick-walled bathroom and looks at her piggy reflection in the mirror.
It looks like a good party. Why aren't you at the party?
I got a pack.
So, are you moving?
Out-of-town job. Felt like getting out of the city for a while.
Away from the crowds?
Yeah. The crowds at the poker tables.
Oh, so you're a gambler?
X. Avoiding temptation.
She comes out of the bathroom.
Well, that's good. Good for you.
Johnny stands with his back to her.
I had a friend once who liked to gamble. At least, well, I heard he liked to gamble. And, you know, he had to stay away from all kinds of things.
Take off the mask.
What?
Sorry. All Halloween, I've been running into, well, someone I used to know. Sorry. Ridiculous.
He turns his attention to some papers.
This someone, she meant a lot to you?
Yes. Yeah, she did.
What happened?
I couldn't give her what she wanted.
What did she want?
He eyes her very carefully, then drops his gaze.
To be free.
You lied to me. I guessed piano, and you said that...
He pulls her into his arms and kisses her passionately.
Love me? I'm sorry.
I know.
No, I don't have the power to break the curse.
It's okay. Turns out I did.
He steps back in shock.
It's me, Max.
Name's Johnny.
I know. Johnny. I'm still me.
He reaches out to touch her face and pulls her into his arms, pressing his lips on hers.
So there we were. And we lived happily ever after.
Well, happily ever after so far, at least.
I don't get it. What does it mean?
Well, what do you think it means?
Rich people stink!
It's always the mother's fault.
It's not the power of the curse, it's the power you give the curse.
That's very good, Billy.
Okay, after break, we'll go explore and see what you can collect.
Penelope's class of 8-year-olds run off to play.
Stay together.
She and Johnny walk up the hill arm in arm, and she sits on a swing suspended from the branch of a bare tree. He pulls back the swing.
Ready?
She arcs through the air. On the lake, a small rowboat floats into view with Lemon at the oars. He takes out his camera with its long zoom lens and focuses on the young lovers smiling happily. Slowly, Lemon lowers the camera and watches them for a moment with his one good eye. Then he picks up the oars and starts to row away. The screen fades to black. This audio description was written by Veronica Hicks and read by John DeBono for IMS. Penelope was directed by Mark Polanski, written by Leslie Cavaney, starring Christina Ricci as Penelope Wilhelm, James McAvoy as Max Johnny, Catherine O'Hara as Jessica Wilhelm, Peter Dinklage as Lemon. Richard E. Grant as Franklin Wilhelm, with Reese Witherspoon as Annie. Simon Woods as Edward Vanderman, Ronnie Ancona as Wanda. Nigel Havers as Mr. Vanderman, Lenny Henry as Krull, produced by Reese Witherspoon. Produced by Scott Steindorf. Produced by Jennifer Simpson. Executive producers Dylan Russell, Michael Robin, Chris Curling. Executive producers Robin Greenspun, Danny Greenspun, Andrew Molaski, Christian Arnold Boykel. Co-producers Leslie Cavaney, Phil Robertson. Director of Photography Michael Amatio, AFC. Production designer Amanda MacArthur. Editor John Gregory, ACE. Hair and makeup designer Liz Tag Worcester. Casting Susie Figgis. Costume designer Jill Taylor. Music by Joby Talbot. Line producer Paul Ritchie. Unit production manager Jennifer Wynn. First assistant director Sean Guest. Second assistant director James Haven. Third assistant director Joey Coughlin. UK production company Zephyr Films. Rest of the cast: Ralph Wilhelm, Nicholas Prideaux, Jake Witch, Michael Feast, Leonard Wilhelm, Paul Herbert, Dr. Simon Chandler. Young Penelope, Andy Marie Townsend, Station Cop, John Vos, Larry, Vern Gorman, Floorman in Card Club, Andrew Bailey, Max, Nick Frost, Old Lady Card Player, Eve Pierce, Mr. Mosley, Suter, Rob Rouse, Handsome Suter, Will Willoughby, Hotel Desk Clerk, Rubria Negrao, Cheery Dealer, Ross Boatman. New Card Dealer, Richard James, Little Girl in Photo Booth, Tallulah Evans, Old Lady in Photo Booth, Pam Phillips, Jack the Bartender, Richard Leaf, Sam the Jazz Club Owner, Russell Brand, Dr. Stone, Martin McDougall, Reporter Outside Hospital 1, James Howard, 2, Sean Parks, Reporter in Mr. Vanderman's Office, Paul Vera, Mrs. Vanderman, Christina Greatrix, Pub Patron 1, Cornelius Booth, Pub Patron 2, Colin Marsh, Boy Pupil on Hillside, Tom Barker, Preacher, Todd Boyce, Girl Pupil, Amaka Odita, Boy Pupil, Preston Nyman, Girl Pupil, Rosie Stewart, Girl Pupil, Alice, Francesca Edgerton, Girl Pupil, Abigail Chan, Girl Pupil, Phoebe Llewellyn. Dialogue Coach, Jill McCullough, sound re-recorded at Anvil Post-Production, London, music arranged by Joby Talbot, music orchestrated by Christopher Austin, Ben Foskett, Artem Vasiliev. Assistant Composer Richard Chester. Conductors Christopher Austin and Joby Talbot. Score recorded at Air Studios Lyndhurst London, Intimate Studios Wapping London. Music programmer Chuck Norman. With thanks to Jaeger LeCoultre, All Saints, Hugo Boss, Asprey, Louis Vuitton, Bellstaff, Miu Miu, Bulgari, Mulberry, Burberry, Origins, Dermatologica, Swatch, D Squared, Topshop, Dunhill, Seize, Gwen Russell, Vespa, Ben and Jerry's Homemade Limited. Makeup provided by Mac. Paintings provided by Mark Wright. Songs, Walking in Paris, written and performed by Nigel Jenkins. On My Mind, written by J.L. Romero, performed by The Sunday Drivers. Inner Peace and Theme for Kinvara, written and performed by Nigel Jenkins. Give In, written by James Killington Thompson, performed by The Secret Six. Queen of the Surface Streets, written and performed by Devochka. String of Blinking Lights, written by Alison Chevanoha, Chris Hebert and Andy Chase, performed by Paper Moon. Waking Life, written by Shulia Fisk and Dave Bassett, performed by Shulia Fisk. You Fall to Pieces, written by Ben Ashley and Kyle Malarkey, performed by The Shore. Ageless Beauty, written by Torquil Campbell, Amy Millen, Chris Seligman, Evan Cranley, and Pat McGee, performed by Stars. Poppy Podler, written by Job Thor Bergeson, Ori P. Dyrison, Georg Holm, and Kjartan Sveinsson, performed by Sigur Ross. Your Disguise, written and performed by James Greenspun. Filmed at Pinewood Studios and on location in London. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. A Tatira Active Film Productions GmbH & Co. KG.
Summit Entertainment.